Hoshana Tova Tiki Tevu. May you be inscribed for a good year. And welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with our favorite teacher of eschatology, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, my love, and shalom aleichem to all the listeners as we exhort one another, even more so, since we can see the day approaching. And that's Hebrews 10:25. So let's pray.
Abba, Father, we know that your building program for our mansions, paved streets of gold, is now ready. We're just waiting to hear that last trumpet call. We pray it's this year, but if not, we will continue to be patient and wait upon your timing while continuing to share your gospel to the lost, especially to our still lost loved ones. We pray protection over Israel's soldiers and the hostages, as well as an end to the war in Ukraine. And may tonight's study bring a smile to your face. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And amen.
Jerusalem was recently attacked.
Yes, at a busy bus stop by two Palestinian gunmen, killing six and injuring many.
And the Houthis are still shooting missiles.
Yes, and one got through Israel's defense system, hitting Ramon Airport, a smaller airport in southern Israel. And the IDF continues fighting Hamas, focusing on Gaza City, with about 40% containment. The people are having a hard time leaving the area, though, even though they were warned to do so by Israel.
But Hamas ambushes them and forces them backwards.
That's true. Some have gotten through by taking back roads. Still, there is about 500,000 that are still trying to leave to go to the southern part of Gaza. It's being reported that 50 high-rise buildings housing Hamas and containing important infrastructure have been destroyed over the weekend.
On it goes till Hamas surrenders.
And releases all 20 live hostages, which they refuse to do so. And Netanyahu says they will be totally eliminated, which means many more casualties, sadly, on both sides. And you can expect a false flag, where Hamas will probably explode a device which kills many civilians, so they can then blame it on Israel.
And the UN will highlight that for sure.
Oh, yeah. And if you listened to last week's program, you might have heard us say that Israel plans on taking out Hamas senior officials, those residing in Qatar.
And so they have.
Well, only one so far is being reported as killed. The figurehead Khalil al Kaya, while attending a meeting in Doha, which is Qatar's capital city. They are calling today's strike a precise and targeted munition.
Thanks to great intelligence.
And more to follow, I'm sure.
And then there's China.
Oh, yeah, with its axis of evil becoming even more stronger, as shown last week as they displayed their friendship at the Shanghai summit. President Trump commented that they, meaning Russia, China, Iran, North Korea, Turkey, and others, are conspiring against the United States.
And make no mistake, they certainly are.
And also, as we said last week, if they are to take out Israel, as we know from Scripture they will try, they must first get rid of their ally, America, which is why we are not mentioned in the end times, because we're just not here. Or at least we're totally disabled.
Well, this happens soon after the rapture.
Yes, after the rapture, and must be before Ezekiel 38.
And the Russian war with Ukraine, it sure isn't slowing down.
Oh, certainly not. Obvious that Putin does not want peace as it keeps bombarding with hundreds of drones almost nightly.
Europe is stepping up and providing some weapons.
Yes, even some long-range missiles, which is a frightening thought for escalation.
Yeah, Europe would buy the weapons from the U.S.
Right, and there is a serious discussion, there's some serious discussions going on about Russia's $300 billion, which was frozen by the G7 in the central banks. That could also be used to help Ukraine, and right now they are only using the interest. As well, Denmark could close the Danish Strait to Russia's fleet, making it harder to evade the oil sanctions. And they could put more sanctions on European nations that are still buying Russian oil.
But something should be done quickly.
I agree.
Could we go after Chinese banks that are heavily funding Russia's war?
Well, former Secretary of State Pompeo seems to think so. Anyhow, we're not hearing anyone yet claiming peace and security, although they could still declare that after the rapture, before the tribulation begins, during the days of awe that we're going to talk about in just a few minutes. But we must comment on what we just heard about how the worldwide internet is almost ready to be launched globally in all countries on the whole planet.
Thanks to Elon and SpaceX.
Yep. All people will have access to Starlink's broadband service so everyone can see the same thing at the same time. Just in time for the Antichrist to take advantage of with the ability to track everyone. As well, using your cell phone or perhaps the implanted devices.
Oh boy. Okay, you can send your end time question by email to Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which will add you to our newsletter mailing list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you can access any of our past programs, letters, and added teachings. Well, tonight we will look at the days that precede Rosh Hashanah and before Yom Kippur.
But first, a little review from the last few weeks. You know, we are currently in the Hebrew month of Elul until Rosh Hashanah and Tishri 1. The month of Elul also begins the 40-day season of Teshuvah to prepare for the feast and to repent, to forgive others, and to draw closer to God, because some year they knew the resurrection would occur at the end of Elul on a Rosh Hashanah, on the first and second days of Tishrei. Unfortunately, the Jews, except the Orthodox, have digressed from their father's early teachings, but that is what they all believed in ancient days.
And when Jesus walked.
Actually, through the first and second centuries, till the Dark Ages. Except the Sadducees, who didn't believe in a resurrection at all.
Which is why they were called sad, you see.
That is an old joke.
Yeah, but it's still funny.
Yeah. We also own a copy of their Gemara tractate from the early days that specifically says Rosh Hashanah will be the resurrection slash judgment day. Therefore, as a precursor to the resurrection some year, they believe that on every year on Rosh Hashanah, God looks down on his people and decides which book they are currently in, good, evil, or in between. And if in the intermediate book, God gives them till Yom Kippur to make it right.
Which is why they refer to this yearly time as the days of awe.
That's right. And that's Tishri 3 through 10. And the most holiest days of the entire year. Anyhow, the Jews want to be sure they are not in the middle book, but that their name is in the good book, which is also called the Book of the Righteous. Which should also remind you of what Yeshua said through John to the church at Sardis in Revelation 3. Honey, please read that.
These things says, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead.
Okay, so they call themselves Christians, as do the mainline churches today. So this letter applies prophetically to our generation too, in that they lack the Holy Spirit. Continue in verse 2.
Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, how fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what the hour I come, that I will come upon you.
So right there, he tells us that we can know when he will return. Verse 4.
You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy.
So there are some in Sardis who were righteous. Verse 5.
He overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name from the book of life,
which is the book of the righteous.
But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
So they too were aware of the books. But now, once righteous through Yeshua, our names do remain, and no man can take us out of the book unless one blasphemes the Holy Spirit, which essentially means to personally reject and deny Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, which includes the Father, as they are the Trinity.
And there's that scripture that confirms the Father dwells in us too.
Check it out. It's the Ephesians 4, verse 6.
So, back to the days of all, being a typology.
Yes, these yearly 7 days, which is Tishri 3 through 10, is a picture of the tribulation period where the people left behind is granted not just 7 days, but 7 years till Yom Kippur of that seventh year to become a tribulation saint before Christ returns the second time when all will see him.
Revelation 19.
Yom Kippur is also confirmed by Isaiah in chapter 27, verse 13, and by Yeshua himself in Matthew 24, 31, by telling us that when he returns to earth, the great trumpet will be blown, which we have said is an idiom for Yom Kippur.
Whereas the last trump is blown on Rosh Hashanah.
And the first trump is an idiom for Pentecost, as it was the first time in the Torah that God blew any trumpet, called a shofar in Hebrew. We also use idioms today as well.
Well, we could say Turkey Day is almost here.
That's right. And that would mean, of course, Thanksgiving Day. And by the way, on occasion, I will watch a video from a known post-tribber to see their evidence for their belief. And recently I watched Joel Richardson, and God bless him, really. But this is a good reason why even just a little of Hebraic roots, the knowledge is so important.
Especially when it comes to the end times.
And they all use the same talking points, and I've been hearing it for decades, and I've refuted it many times, especially concerning Matthew 24:31. So, for any newcomers to this podcast, honey, please read that when Christ returns on the clouds at his second coming.
Matthew 24, verse 31. He will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other.
So, you read here about the great trumpet, which is our clue that he returns on their Day of Atonement, known in Hebrew as Yom Kippur. But he's not alone. Just about all post-tribbers say that's the same trumpet as in 1 Corinthians 15:52, which Paul clearly calls it the last trumpet, when we shall all be changed. Again, post-tribbers are confusing the great trumpet with the last trumpet and teaching they're the same event.
But it is not.
It certainly is not. Nor is it the seventh trumpet of Revelation.
So, three different trumpets.
For sure. The other thing the post-tribbers say concerning Matthew 24:31 is...
See, the elect is still here.
I know. Assuming only the church is called the elect. But the tribulation saints will be the new first fruits, Revelation 14:4. Therefore, the new elect. And who were the elect before the church?
Israel.
Of course they were. In fact, God calls them his elect in Isaiah 45, verse 4. Honey, please read that.
For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me.
See, we are not the only elect. It's all about the timing. Joel also says the Antichrist will be a Muslim when Daniel 9 says he'll be from Rome, or at least that vicinity. And by the way, the Antichrist will call himself a Christian, hence the name Antichrist, which means in place of Christ.
It makes us sad when error is taught, especially on the end times.
But it is prophesied.
Mm-hmm.
And eschatology is a very important scriptural topic.
Actually, they're taking a believer's blessed hope away.
I know their blessed hope. And I am sure he's a good man. He's a loving husband. He even has five children. So pray for him and any Christian brother or sister who just don't get it.
And that the truth will come to them.
Yeah. Because of all the influence they have over so many, especially the new believers.
All right, anyhow, let us remember that these appointments were made by God himself.
And are for anyone to embrace, both the spiritual and the physical meaning, given first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. And Jesus will literally keep them all, just like he did the first four in the spring, with his death, burial, and resurrection. And then 50 days later, send his Holy Spirit on Pentecost.
So, the day after Rosh Hashanah begins the days of awe.
Yes, Tishri 3, or September 25th on our calendar, which continues for 7 days till Yom Kippur on October 2nd, which is Tishri 10, till sundown. This is on, of course, their Hebrew calendar, which they follow in Israel today. If you are watching the Essene calendar, well, then everything is just a week earlier. Again, these seven high holy days has always had an element of fear to it for the Hebrews, of possibly being removed from the Book of Life if any unrepented sin or particularly unforgiveness was found in one's heart by God. However, to us Christians that understand typology, it's easy to see that these 7 days is a type of the 7 years of the tribulation period. Think about it. Repentance will be of the most importance for the unsaved left behind in the tribulation. This typology are the awesome days that Joel 2 verse 11 speaks about.
The day of the Lord is great and very awesome. Who can endure it?
Obviously, Scripture is speaking of the dark days of the tribulation. So every year during these days of awe, or Yamin Noraim in Hebrew, are the final days of the 40 days of Teshuvah that we've been teaching on.
So, as you said, these are the connecting days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
That's right. The Israelites and still the Orthodox today believe that during these final days of Teshuvah, if they haven't repented before sundown on Yom Kippur and turning wholeheartedly back to God, their name would be taken out of the Book of Life with possible death on the horizon.
This is a pretty serious time.
Yeah, very much is. Mm-hmm. Especially to the very strict Torah observers. So, much prayer is happening during this special week. You can believe it. And the common greeting during this season, and what we open the program with, is Lashana Tova, Tiki Tevu, which means,
may you be inscribed for a good year.
But as well, it also implies, may your name be in the book of life. Praise Yeshua, because we are called by his name, so we will always remain in the book of life. But to the unsaved Jews, the days of awe is a very big deal, and so will Jacob's trouble. And the last day of the days of awe, which is Tishri 10, is Yom Kippur, where they adhere to the scripture in Leviticus 23 to fast, which is the only mandatory 24-hour complete fast that God mandates they do, calling it a time to afflict their souls.
Which means to rest.
To fast.
To fast.
Praise the Lord. Christians are not under the law. And like all the feasts are recognized with other phrases, Yom Kippur took on the idiom called
the fast.
That's it. And since fasting is good for anyone, some Christians too might want to observe the fast. But again, only if you want to glorify him alone as king of the universe.
This is not a fast for prayers to be answered.
Right. This fast is strictly to show him love and exaltation. Or perhaps you might like to do a shorter fast just to recognize his coming appointment that he will fulfill when he returns at the end of the tribulation at the closing of heaven's gates called the Nilah. After the unrighteous of the tribulation witness him returning in the clouds, it's going to be too late by then, because the gates that were opened on Rosh Hashanah, described in Isaiah 26:2, are then closed on Yom Kippur. As we read in Revelation 19, Jesus then throws the beast and the false prophet in the lake of fire. As you know, we all need to emphasize emphatically to the lost that if they wait and find themselves in the tribulation, to repent quickly as they realize that what we have all been saying has come true. And Yom Kippur is also known, as we've said, the Day of Atonement, which closes the yearly season of Teshuvah. Again, in summary, to the strict Jews, the Day of Atonement is when God assesses the deeds of each person and decides their fate for the coming year. So from our studies, we can know without a doubt that Jesus will keep that appointment as well with his second coming, when he bodily returns to earth at the end of the tribulation. But no chance of salvation to those who have taken the mark, thus worshiping the Antichrist. When they accepted the mark, their names can never be in the book of life. So bottom line, if left behind, God gives them one last chance to accept Christ as their Savior. For he really is a God of mercy, but also of judgment. And next week, we're going to look at more idioms pertaining to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Now, this is very important. If you are backsliding, or if you even wonder whether you are in or an in-name-only Christian that Matthew 7 talks about, and have only a head knowledge and maybe not a true heart conviction, as in no desire to be in his word, then get on your knees right now. Don't wait. If you hesitate, the enemy might steal this seed away. Repent of your individual sins that have a stronghold over you. Then commit, or sometimes recommit, your life to Yeshua. I want to leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, you're going to prosper. Shalom. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.